Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We'll get to our Friday 5-pack in just a moment. Top 5 Maple Leaf X-Factors in this upcoming playoffs. Freddie Anderson not included. Because if we have Anderson, he's going to be number one, right. I would think, on all of our lists.
He should be.
Would but you have Freddie Anderson anywhere but one?
Absolutely. Like,
could I have
goaltending? It's a goal. I've said it 100 times. It's a goaltender league.
You'd slide McElhinney in there in the top five?
In the playoffs?
Hold on a second. If something happens, who's going to be the most important player?
You can't talk about...
It's an interesting take. Well, we'll get to it in a few minutes. About. All right. Add it to your list. I got mine in front of me. I'm ready to go. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Gord Asch will join us a little bit later in the hour as well. Bo Bichette, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. starting the year in AA. No one's really surprised by that. There was some chatter of them starting maybe a little bit lower down the depth chart, but these kids keep rocking, man. Like, Bichette hit a bomb last night. Vladdy Guerrero, he's had a bunch of hits. They're going to be in Montreal for the final couple of tune-up games, and a lot of Blue Jays fans, I'm sure, will make the trip to Montreal to party in Montreal, but also to see those two kids play.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk to Gord about when they might end up coming up, but it was a piece in the Sun. Rob Longley wrote a piece in the Sun this morning about ticket sales and how it's not been good for the Blue Jays. Right. And they've also got, for the first time in quite some time, competition in the spring with the Raptors and the Maple Leafs. Like, the Raptors, this is the fifth year in a row they've been in the playoffs. The Leafs, it's the second year in a row, and for the longest time, they were so far out of it by the spring. I had these takes and I had these conversations every single fall and every single spring on radio.
Right.
When the Jays were not winning and when the Maple Leafs were not winning, by the spring, you're ready for the Blue Jays to play. By the fall, you're like, get the hell out of here. Maple Leafs, can you show up? I can't do it anymore.
Right.
Now it's a different story because the Leafs are going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. If I was a fan, like a diehard Blue Jays fan, I'd be somewhat disappointed. They lose Bautista. Encarnacion is gone. It's like you're really a big market.
Well, and that's what they're talking about with ticket prices going up. Like, Shapiro's been talking about that recently, and he's like, we need to match the size of our market.
Yeah, well, if I'm a fan, I'd be saying, you need to go get some better players for me to get in that building. And I want Josh Donaldson a part of the framework for the next whatever amount of years you got to keep him.
I but wouldn't be gearing up for that. Doesn't feel like that's happening.
No, they're going to wait and see for 2 months, and if they're going to be garbage, and then they're going to move away from everybody.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can move Donaldson for some pieces that help the future, and you've got these kids growing, like it seems to me that's what they're setting up for.
We just had this conversation in the break. Our boy Tyler Hunt brought this up.
Yeah.
There does feel like a parallel between this Blue Jay team and the Maple Leaf team from a few years ago, where there's some holdovers that have been here for a while.
Right.
Now, that Maple Leaf team never had success like this Blue Jay team did in 2015 and 2016.
Right.
But remember when P.A. Parenteau was coming aboard, yep, and Michael Grabner, and bringing a couple of guys just to get us through the year.
The bridge Band-Aids. Players.
Bridge players. That's exactly what's happened here. Like, they have not, they signed Granderson to a one-year deal. Morales right. will be up in a couple of years. Smoke has one more year. Donaldson's deal is up at the end of the year.
Yeah, so you just continue to, you know, bridge until you're ready.
That's kind of what it feels like. Because this Yankee team and this Red Sox team, they are so loaded. Yeah. Like, the Yankees, from Judge to Stanton to Sanchez, that's their 1-2-3 in the lineup. Like, those are three of the best bats in baseball, and they're all on the same team. The Red Sox are loaded, and they've got youth. It kind of feels that way. So, you know,
the Jays had a nasty
run with Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion.
Yeah.
That's one of the great 1-2-3, you know, batting orders we've seen in a long, long time.
Right. But, I mean, age catches up. Like, Bautista is how old right now?
He's 37. He's still unemployed.
Right.
Edwin's doing his thing in Cleveland, and Donaldson, he's a lot younger, and he's still here. But
will Bautista,
I wouldn't be
get a
like,
deal?
You think the Yankees are like a shoe-in to win? We see it in the playoffs. You don't mash your way to, like, did Houston?
No, they'll spread it around. I mean, they've got some pop. They'll get on base. They'll move guys over. They'll, you know, fundamentals of Houston baseball. But the Yankees were right there this, like, last year. Mm-hmm. And now you're a year removed from that, and your young guys have that kind of experience, and you've gotten better by adding Stanton. So, as for the Blue Jays and the tickets, that's the job of Shapiro. He's got to be on top of that. I'm sure he's not happy about the fact that all these season ticket holders have bailed, and they can't expect that much from the walk-up aisles, from people walking up and saying, I want to go to the game tonight. But if they get off to a hot start, people will start coming again.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the reality of pro sports.
But there are diehards that will be there regardless.
Absolutely. It's not going to be like 8,000 people at the Rogers Center.
No, not at all.
They're going to get people out there. It's a big city. It's a big fan base.
And it's kind of become the place to be for even younger people, our age, younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they want to go on a Friday night. They don't want to go to the bar. They want to go to the game. But now, you wonder how it changes if they're not.
That's the thing. I'm not convinced that wasn't the case in September last year when they were on pace for 76 wins. If they're on pace for 75 this year, I'm not sure it's the place to be again.
Yeah, it starts.
But it's more affordable
a little bit.
It is more affordable because there's more seats. You can get 45,000-50,000 people in there. The ACC holds like 19 grand.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
But I think they're waiting to turn this over a little bit. I think they should feel comfortable that once they do succeed again, people will come out. Like, there was a 20-year gap between playoff appearances. The second they got hot, the second Anthopoulos made a move or two to move the needle, that place was packed.
Right.
They led the American League in attendance, I believe, the past 2 years.
Yep.
People show up if you win. If you don't win, you can't expect 40,000 people. It's not.
But they have to.
That's not the way it works.
Those meetings, they've had to factor that in and say, hey, we're going to take our lumps here the next couple years. We may even have a bit of a PR battle because we might have to move Donaldson out, which is, you know, kind of the face of our organization, but it's going to be for the greater good. In the short term, what did Babcock say? Pain. Pain's coming. Mm-hmm. They just haven't come out and said it.
No, and that's the one thing, again, these ticket sales and the conversation about the lack of buzz in the city, I think should be proving to Shapiro and Atkins that you can kind of retool and reload and work it out because people aren't buying what you're selling right now.
But
this idea that you think you're competitive, and maybe everything works out for them, but this sales pitch that they're still in it and they want to go for it this year, people aren't buying it because they're not buying tickets.
They're not going for it.
But the Maple Leafs didn't try and sell that and then go, oh, by the way, we're boosting ticket prices up, did they?
No, but the Leafs are such a different organism in the city. Like they could get away with being bluntly honest.
Right.
And quite frankly, they lied to people a lot. Or were facetious a lot over the years where they were trying to pretend like they were better than they really were.
Right.
And they never actually were. Speaking of the Maple Leafs, the 5-pack is brought to you by Cool Beer Brewery. This week, we are going to debate the top 5 X factors for the Maple Leafs going into the playoffs, not named Freddie Anderson. So I'm sure we're going to have similar names on our list.
Yeah.
But it's where they rank, why they rank where they do. You guys ready?
Yep.
Keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
5 beers.
Yeah, they were all out of 6 packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, 5-pack.
Top 5, top 5.
All right, who wants the tea here?
You want me to go? You go. Go, are you ready? Or
no, you go ahead, Noodles. You got them all ready to go.
Got them ready. Okay, so Austin Matthews, number 1.
You got Matthews, number 1?
I hope that's everyone's on the list. But
I don't know, we'll see.
Marner's father over there is going to have him up.
Andreas Janssen guy.
Okay, number 2, I'd say Mitch Marner because of the power play. So I went Matthews, Marner. Number 3, I may go slightly off the board, Patrick Marleau.
Patrick Marleau at 3. Why is that?
deep playoff experience, been in a lot of different pressure situations, doesn't speak a lot in the room, but there was a time this year where the team struggled, and he had something to say, and the guys had something and listened and came out. I think his experience is going to bleed through when they need it, and that's where I think, you know, outside of the goalie, you're going to need grizzled veterans to kind of...
This is why they paid him that money,
but that's
too,
what I'm
right?
saying. Like, that's why I think I had him a little... Maybe a touch high on the list, but I don't want to devalue how important he is, especially in a playoff run.
Okay.
Kadri, because of the matchups. So, you're... If it's Boston, like, he's going to go up against Bergeron or Matthews, but it's there's going to be times on the road where you're not going to get that matchup, and you're going to need Kadri to step up. And then I'm kind of having fun with it, but not having fun. If anything ever happened to Frederik Andersen, you're going to need your backup to be that good.
You have McElhinney in your top five.
I threw him on there.
All right, throw him in the five spot. Listen, not wrong if Andersen goes
down.
I'm
knocking on wood and all of that, but I'm just saying if certainly Morgan Rielly, Jake Gartley, you can go right down the list,
yeah.
But if you need your depth players to step up in critical situations...
No more important than that.
Exactly.
Yeah, no question. I mean, if Andersen gets banged up, it's the McElhinney show. They need him.
And the pressure will be on.
It'll be huge.
You want my five-pack?
Yeah, go ahead.
1, 2. Jake Gardner, Morgan Rielly.
Starting on the back end.
Yes, because they can score goals. They can play offense. Jake Gardner's my number one guy because I think he's a guy that can log a lot of minutes. And I don't think you can win a playoff series if he wants to go out. And everyone's been drooling over this guy. And I have been, too, with the offensive productivity and the playmaking and the passing. But if the blunders keep happening in your own zone against top players, you don't win a playoff series. So he is my number one guy.
He's got a pretty good playoff history, too. It's a limited amount.
He was fantastic, that playoff series against Boston.
Against Boston, that was a coming-out party for him.
Right.
And I think last year he played pretty well.
Yeah, so Morgan Rielly's right behind him. He's a guy that can log a lot of minutes and dictate a lot what's going to happen out there. Third's Austin Matthews. Mitch Marner, who I do not think played very well in the playoff series against Washington.
No, he didn't.
I'll give you a hall pass. You're a rookie. Year two, let's see what you got. Mm-hmm. And Nazem Kadri's fifth. That's a pretty good list.
Yeah, that's not a bad list. That's an interesting list.
Kind of the same as mine.
It just comes down to the rankings of importance. Yeah. Like, I'm on the same boat as Noodles with the top two. I got Matthews 1, Marner 2. Like, that is the heart of this team.
Well, and those are the guys who...
Those are the guys that drive the team.
The score, yeah, the engine.
You know, like, that's... Those two have to play the role of Taves and Kane, Crosby and Malkin, Kopitar, Carter. Like the teams that have had success over the past 10 years, you need a two-pack of studs that can rise up and elevate their game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I fully expect it out of Matthews. I've seen it in junior out of Marner, but this isn't junior anymore.
Yeah, you got to translate it.
You got to translate the way you've been playing recently. And I do think if they're a two-line team, like to that extent, where they're like two powerhouse lines, with Matthews driving one and Marner driving the other, that's really difficult to match up. Really difficult to match up. I got Rielly 3 because I think he's their number one defenseman. I think he's going to have to play a ton of minutes.
Like, he looked fantastic against Nashville.
I thought he looked really good last night,
moving really nicely.
The decor looked really good. Like, I thought Dermott played really well last night too. And I'm curious to see where his minutes come in and whether they take any away from him.
They better not. He's ready to play. He's a good player every shift.
He is, but this is where, you know, you coach in the moment. In the first period, you're like, all right, skip him a shift. Second period, skip him two. Third period, skip him three. And then all of a sudden, you're in triple OT, and you're like, we got to 5 minutes for this guy because Rielly's going to play 45 minutes tonight. You know, I'm with you. I would play him. Like, I would get him out there. He's not going to play to the same extent as Rielly or Gardner or Hainsey, but I got Gardner 4. I got Zaitsev 5. Like, really? I think Zaitsev is legitimately their third defenseman. Hainsey's played more. Hainsey's been better.
Mm-hmm.
Hainsey has cup pedigree. He just won a cup last year. But what have we talked about as the weakness of this team all year? It's their defense core.
Yep.
Like, compared to the forwards and the way Freddie Andersen has played, their special teams have been outstanding. The weak link, and I don't think it's as weak as maybe some people suggest it is. I don't think it's like the worst defense core in the league or anything like that. It's probably somewhere around the middle of the pack. But you're going to play one of Boston or Tampa in the first round, and likely one of Boston or Tampa in the second round. That's a lot of firepower coming at you. A lot of firepower.
And they typically, like, they don't defend that well.
No, and they have to. Like, last night, they played well. They played really well.
Yeah.
You know, but in Tampa in the third, they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
So when you're going for tape, the Boston Bruins or Tampa Bay Lightning, what do you think the one thing they're going to say? What do you think hockey players talk about in the locker room?
Well, punish the defense.
Get it in there. Let's abuse the D, because it's a joke.
But these guys can skate. Like, outside of Pollock,
they can skate. They can get the job done, but it's going to be a lot of stress to do it for a 7-game series against a quality team.
Yeah.
So what did you say at the top of the list to do not include?
Freddie Anderson.
And people writing in first on the list?
Where's Freddie Anderson?
Yeah.
That's the point of this, because we're dumb, but we're not stupid.
Yeah. But like, we said we're not.
I thought you
Freddie
laid that
Anderson
out there.
I thought I expressed that clearly, but I guess not. We all have Freddie Anderson.
Yes.
But for the most part, we've got similar lists. Yeah. We've just got different orders. I didn't have Kadri. He'd be right there. I think Ron Hainsey does have to factor in significantly. Like, he moved himself up the lineup in terms of minutes in Pittsburgh a year ago.
Yeah.
And
that was because of injury, but he ended up playing well. But here, it's not because of injury. It's because he's in the top four.
He's important. He's on the top pairing.
And he's on the penalty kill. The most minutes in the league on the penalty kill this season, Ron Hainsey.
And by a substantial margin.
By a minute.
Some of the goofiest things I've ever seen is being at the game or watching it, and Ron Hainsey in Zaitsev killing a whole penalty.
Well, yeah. Pollock is getting more minutes now because of Zaitsev's injuries and his illness, and he played a lot of minutes last night. At one point, I think he was leading the team in minutes played, like through two periods. And that's another example. Not that I...
You want to see that...
It's not up for debate, but Pollock's playing. Carrick's not playing.
You're right. And I don't think that's up for debate with the coaching staff. Maybe up for debate with the media and the fan base. Not up for debate with the people that make the decisions.
No.
Like, Polak's their guy, and he's slotted at six. They believe you need, and I don't disagree. You need to be tough to play against, especially in a grueling series. And he could be a guy who can wear somebody down. The only problem is you have to be good in your own zone. Like, he doesn't have to start advancing pucks Gardner and Riley and stretching people out. But what he needs to do is not make mistakes in his own zone.
And also don't take dumb penalties.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that can't happen because Tampa's power play will crush you.
Yeah, as good as the Leafs' power play is, some of these other teams' power plays are strong.
Like,
too.
If you give space to Marchand and Pasternak and Torrey Krug, like, they're going to light you up. So Pollock's got to play within his parameters. I mean, we know what that is. It's a third pairing defenseman who can play tough and get mean and just don't go over the line to the point where you start costing your team. But they got, I mean, the truth is, you look over this, they got a lot of guys. Like, none of us had Nylander on the list.
No.
And Nylander played well last year in the playoffs.
He did.
Komarov could be considered an X factor if he's healthy and playing. He's going to play a lot of minutes.
We could talk about every player on this roster and how important a guy like Connor Brown can have a playoff. Let's not forget what happens in the playoffs. There's always one guy who's separate, like the Chris Kontos, the John Druce, guy who scores 12 goals, and he had six during the regular season. Well, like,
Kapanen was kind of that last year. He came up late. He scored that goal in double OT in game two. He scored again later in the series, a big goal.
But yeah, there's always one Cinderella story, but I'm just looking at level importance, and I should have thrown some D in there because you guys make great points. These guys can't get the puck unless the guys do the job
they
on the back
help.
End and defend.
Yep.
But that's where we had thrown it out there. Frederick Anderson is the number one reason why, so he's done it all year. But it's level of importance as far as finding the back of the net. You got to outscore sometimes. There will be some 6-5 games.
I hope so. Well, if they play Tampa, like, did you see that last night? Tampa was 7-6. Home free, and it ends up 7-6 against the Islanders.
That's the Islanders. So
I know, but they've given up a lot. Like, this is the thing about Tampa. They keep winning, but it's ugly. Like, it has been ugly for them recently. I can't imagine John Cooper feels great about the way his team is playing right now.
No, they got McDonough, and I thought, okay, they're solid. They've solidified that. It's going to be just 4-1 spankings every night, and they're
running around a lot.
They're like Toronto. They're a lot like Toronto. Yeah. They could score like machines. But they don't defend that well either.
Well, they're all right, though. They're like I say, Toronto does not have Victor Hedman.
No, that's the one outlier.
The one outlier is that's the scary part is they're just going to, like, Cooper's just going to go out there for 30 minutes.
He's going to play a ton in the playoffs.
And McDonough will play a lot, too.
He's got to find himself, though. Like, he's had a lot of injury problems this mm-hmm. year. He's coming off an ugly scene in New York. But yep. he had, like, when they went to the Cup Final in 2012 or whatever, he was great.
Yeah, but that is.
Like, he's done it before.
It's a while back.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
He's got to play better. You're right.
Yep. Anyway, Gord Ash will join us. Don't forget, the five-pack was brought to you by Cool Beer Brewery, home to Canada's first hemp-based amber lager, buzz.brewed naturally with hemp and organic malted barley. Visit coolbeer.com. Coolbeer.com. They sent us a bunch of cases a few weeks ago. I was all over.
Enjoy a cool beer.
How were they, Mulls? Good?
Mullen got his hands on those.
Well, Hunt, I think Hunt went to work.
He had a couple, too, I believe, yeah. Coolbeer.com is the website, courtesy of our friends at Cool Beer Brewery. Gord Ash on Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette starting in AA. The ticket situation here in Toronto. What's going on with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Jays? We'll catch up with him and keep teeing up a busy weekend here in Toronto. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Gord Ash will join us here in a moment. The Blue Jays wrapping up spring training. They're going to be in Montreal for a couple of nights early next week. And the kids are off to Montreal. Bo Bichette and Vladdy Guerrero Jr. will both be in Montreal, and then they're going down to New Hampshire, double-A ball, which means that they're highly touted prospects, and they want to give them the best competition possible without it being in the major leagues. And they're going to take their time with these guys. We'll get Gord Ash to explain the whole service time conversation that it's pretty in-depth, pretty heavy baseball talk about, you know, when the clock starts on free agency and the money you got to pay these kids and how it might factor into what Shapiro and Atkins decide to do with these two. But I don't think I'm alone in this, man. I want to see them play.
Yeah.
I want to see these kids play. And it's almost a tease that you keep hearing about how well they're playing in spring training. And you see highlights. And
the team's a dumpster fire. Don't you think they come up later in the summer?
You've got to
show your fans the new toy and say, okay, it's all good. Don't worry about what we've done here because this is the future.
They have to perform in the minors. So you're not going to bring them up if they're struggling. Like, if they're lighting the minors on fire and they're ready to play, I'm sure they'll think about it. But, again, it comes down to contractual stuff. Like, it's a deep conversation about when you want the clock to start with these two kids.
Right. But it's going to be later into the season. They're going to want them to have plenty of at-bats and experience and... Because once you don't call just guys up just to give them a little taste. Once in a while they do, but like you want them up for good.
Let's play. Like if you're this highly touted, they are preparing you to get to the majors and stay in the majors for 15 years.
Right. And now the Leafs did it with William Nylander a couple years ago, but they knew the team was bad. But they gave him a little taste because he was playing well in the minors. And I'm sure these kids, the same thing. If they play well in AAA...
Yeah, if they move up, if they get promoted,
right, they keep going.
Yeah, I mean, if they're playing like rock stars,
yeah.
And furthermore, let's say the Jays actually have a surprisingly good season, and the belief is they can help in August and September,
right?
That's a pressure point as well for the front office, because if you're in a playoff race and you're looking at these two kids and you're like, if we bring them up, it's going to elevate us to a completely different level. Forget 7 years down the road.
Right.
You know, there'll be free agents a year earlier than we thought. You're thinking in the now at that point.
Right.
So that might be a part of the conversation as well. And to chat about these kids and the plan for them short-term and long-term, we're joined now by the former GM of the Blue Jays. And he's been on this show many times. Here's Gord Ash. How you doing, Gord?
Very well. How about you?
We're doing well. We're just talking about service time in Major League Baseball. It's a heavy topic.
Why do you frame it service time?
Well, I'll get you to explain it, Gord. When it pertains to kids like Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, the thought process that goes into bringing them up, how it factors into their contracts, I mean, how does this conversation work behind the scenes?
Well, at the start of the season, generally you see players of quality sent down unexpectedly a couple of years ago. The Cubs did it with Chris Bryant. He started the year in the minor leagues. This year, there's a hot prospect with Atlanta named Acuna. Even though he hit about 500 in the spring, is going to start the season in the minor leagues. The reason for that is if they get less than 1 year of service this first year, that means that free agency is pushed an additional year. And it just gives the club a little more control. Now, it's always been a long debate in terms of are you in the business to win or are you in the business to manage service time? But it really has become the reality of the sport now, unfortunately.
Well, and it's controversial with the agents, right? Like, they know what's going on. I heard Anthopoulos' comments about that kid you mentioned in Atlanta a couple of days ago, where he's like, it just feels like he needs a little bit more seasoning. He can't come out and outright say, we're sending him down there so we have more control over him. Because if he does, a grievance is filed, and the PA is going to freak out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they've already, to some extent, fought that battle in previous CBA discussions, and the clubs have always retained the rights to make the decisions on who should be on the team. It's a really hard sell. It was for the Cubs on Chris Bryant. It is for the Braves on this young man, Acuna. And, it's a shame because, certainly in that kind of quality player is going to make a difference for their club. But you'll see them by the end of May, they'll be up and they'll be making contributions to their club.
With Gord Ash. So how do you feel about this news today that Vladdy Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette will begin in AA New Hampshire? What do you think that says about how the team and the organization feels about them and whether or not they're being fast-tracked to the majors?
Yeah, it's a AA. It's hard sometimes for the fans to understand, but in a lot of ways, AA is probably a better league than AAA, and that's because the quality of the player in AA is a little superior. AAA, you get a lot of veterans hanging on, maybe not as motivated, and they'll certainly get their time at AAA. But AA has always been thought of from a strictly development point of view as the make-or-break level, and I think it's good that they're going there. It's a little tough weather-wise early in the year, but I think it makes a lot of sense. They both look very capable of playing at that level to the limited time I've seen them play. And, they're exciting players, and I don't think it's going to be long before you see them in Toronto.
Apparently there's a drop in season ticket sales. Do you think the fans are sniffing out a troubling year coming up? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I read the comments from Mark Shapiro where, they've tried to eliminate the secondary market and tried to do some different things in terms of bulking up the revenue. I heard him say that opening day will be the largest revenue game in the stadium's history. But people just don't judge it that way. People judge it. The common fan judges it by attendance, by the number of bodies in the building. They're not going to really grasp the revenue numbers. Certainly ownership will, and they'll be happy about that. But I think anytime you come out before the season starts and talk about your attendance going down, what you're doing is you're just minimizing expectations. I mean, what happens if the club gets red hot and plays well? They'll draw very well. And if they don't, I think it's only natural that given the downturn in the club's performance last year, there's a downturn in the number of season tickets sold. That's natural. It's always been that way, particularly in baseball. I do think that there's a core fan here. What that number is, 20,000 a game, maybe. I think the rest of it depends on results, attractiveness of the team. Doesn't necessarily mean you need to win. For instance, if Vladimir Guerrero is here mid-season, fans are going to come out to see that. That's
right.
Exciting. That's interesting. But nothing beats winning, and I think what Mark Shapiro's done here is just minimize expectations so that you can't come out in July and say what's wrong with the Blue Jay attendance when he's already said, I know it's going to be down.
With Gord Ash, another slow start like last April, that'll be a death knell for this team and this core, you would think. I'm not convinced they can be as bad as they were last April. That was almost unparalleled. We've never seen that before. But if they get off to a bad start, first month and a half, would you expect Gibbons to be on thin ice, or do you feel like, based on Shapiro's comments, like you just referenced, he's kind of expecting a down year anyway, so he would give Gibbons a pass at least until the end of the year?
Yeah, I don't think he's on thin ice. I think there's a good, solid relationship there, and you know, they've already been on record talking about how they would love to tear this club down and couldn't because of the fan support and the fan expectations. So I wouldn't be surprised if the club gets off to a poor start. You're going to see that those bodies start moving come middle of the summer, probably before the trade deadline. Guys like Josh Donaldson, for instance, hasn't signed a contract, so I don't see him hanging around, and they'll start the rebuild at that point. And certainly I think it'll be a difficult transition because nothing ever happens quickly in baseball, but it's probably a needed transition. But on the other hand, I mean, the starting pitching has the potential to be so good. This club could go into September in the race, I think.
Well, how confident are you that the Yankees and the Red Sox will both meet these outrageous expectations?
No, I mean they're both very good teams. Neither of them has the pitching the Blue Jays have, especially if some of the arms in the bullpen perform like they have performed through spring training. What the difference maker is going to be is how many runs are the Blue Jays going to score, and if some of these additions, if Grychuk performs to the level he could perform to, and certainly there's a hole at shortstop, at least in theory, and if Diaz can perform reasonably well there, that's going to help. And I do like the platoon in left field of Grandison and Pierce. I think that's a good way to play that. So if they can score any runs at all, they're going to be in the thick of this, unless there's injuries, because there's not a lot of depth again on the team.
Thank you, Gord. Really appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
There's Gord Asch, former GM of the Blue Jays. Knows a thing or two about a team in transition and dealing with some issues at the box office. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's...
And that's probably what Shapiro was doing, but, I mean, you built this team. Like, out of one side of your mouth, you're like, well, you know, for the fans, we can't rebuild. And then out of the other side, you're like, well, they're not showing up, but right, maybe that means they're telling us we're not that good. And this fallacy we've been trying to spread that we believe we can compete or will be up there with the Yankees and the Red Sox, nobody's buying it.
Nobody's
really buying it. So take that for what it's worth and build the team appropriately going forward. Agreed. You know, the fans will be there. We know that. They had some dark years for like two decades, and they got hot, and the place loaded up. This city's a great sports town. They will support you. But they're not going to show up 40,000 deep for a team that's not that good, especially when you have the Leafs and the Raptors and TFC and... You know, the Argos, they have their attendance issues too, but they're coming off a great cup.
Yeah.
You know, the Rock are a good team. All these teams are good teams.
Yeah, there are lots to do here.
The Marlies are a good team.
They are.
Get down to Rico and support the Marlies.
I'm going to go to a lot more Argo games this year.
Are you?
Support the Argos.
I'm not convinced that you will follow through on that statement, but...
Okay, I'll take picks every time I'm there.
You're going to go by yourself or get the boys out,
get your kids out? Yeah, buddies.
Hey, listen, man, it's a cool park.
You live in that neighborhood, too. It's close. You could walk over there.
I could ride my bike there.
I'd like to see you riding a bike.
Can you get an impaired on a bike, though?
I think you can.
Like a bicycle?
I think we've gone over this before.
I don't need to take a chance. Trust me. Don't do that. Just I'll Uber it.
Or a rickshaw.
No, get forget Uber, man. I'm anti-Uber now. Ever since my experience in Pitt.
What happened?
Well, I told you guys. I got screwed multiple times. Yeah. I kept ordering them. And then finally I'd call the one guy and be like, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm not even close to downtown.
And then you say, screw you. And then they charge you a fee.
That's what happened. And I go to him. I'm like, all right, well, cancel it. And I told him, I'm like, but don't charge me. Like, this is you, dude. I'm the one sitting here waiting for you. I haven't moved.
You can call and complain.
But that shouldn't be my problem.
I know.
You know, if this greaseball who's driving around knows he's screwing me and knows he's not he also probably knew I'm from Toronto. He's like, what's this guy going to do?
The problem is there's too many Uber drivers now because people are just like, I'll pick up a little extra money. So now I was taking an Uber downtown Toronto last weekend and chatting with the guy. And I said, how's business? Like, you doing well? And he said, it's not as good anymore because he said there's so many people just picking up jobs, odd jobs, and so it's saturated.
Right. So. I could see that. Hey, I was in the Uber game for a while, like when I had the bad knee and I wasn't driving.
I use all of that. Any type of public transportation other than people movers.
Yeah, you're not a TTC guy.
Not right now.
Is Lyft in Toronto now? I thought
Lyft's coming in.
It is in Toronto.
It is here.
And then you got the cabbies, and
I'll take.
I've been taking taxis my whole life. I'll continue to do that.
I just forget.
Flag
sometime.
One down, and let's
problem
get rocking.
Is you forget. You're gassing Uber?
Well, probably not. I'm talking a big game.
You take a cab and you forget sometimes to pay because you think it's Uber and you just get out.
Has that happened to you?
Well, I don't. I mean, I go to get out and then I realize I've got a meter, but
the
in
guy
my
tackles
mind,
you.
I had an incident not that long ago where the guy had to wake me up in the back. I was a little tired.
Lomax. It was a long night.
Yeah, it was a long night. Oh, well.
Cabbies, man. They do. I'll say this, man. They have to go through a lot.
They like put up with a lot of
they're out there on a Friday
nonsense.
Or Saturday night. The booze bags get in the back of those.
And they're idiots.
People are yapping away, and they're eating, and they're...
Yeah. I don't mind eating. You should be able to eat.
You
they
should
just
be,
just put up with a lot of garbage.
Yeah, they do. And you get kids that run on cabs.
I used to do that.
I've done it before as a kid.
You run on a cab?
Well, you feel like an idiot now, but...
Toronto to King City...
You went all the way to King City and darted on a cab?
Oh, five houses down, backyard fence jumps, and home.
Ferris Bueller in King City.
We'd be looking out our bedroom window, and they'd just be circling around looking for us.
That's terrible.
I know,
terrible.
It's awful.
It's awful. It is awful.
It happens, though.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't do that.
We'll you might want to take yourself out of that one.
I'll back that one up. Beep. 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 We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. But first, do you ever find yourself going from store to store coming out empty-handed? When you shop at ebay.ca, it's so simple to find exactly what you want. Bet you didn't know that over 80% of what eBay sells is 100% new. And did you know that over 80% of the items on eBay are bought instantly without an auction? Well, now you do. With tons of new items, it's easy to find Canadian products that make you. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. Looking at the NBA point spread tonight, the Raptors spank Brooklyn. Not happy about what happened on Wednesday in Cleveland. They beat up on bad teams. Brooklyn is not a good team. Raptors don't lose at home. I'll lay the points. Bit of a circus in San Antonio, but they've won a bunch of games in a row, and I think they cover at home against Utah tonight. And no Kyrie Irving, no Marcus Smart, as we know. Gordon Hayward's been out all year. Portland's been hot. I'm on Portland big at home over Boston. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Raps, Brooklyn tonight, and then they got Boston also coming up. The Leafs have Detroit tomorrow at home, and the Leafs have a pretty soft schedule coming up. Like, they've got Winnipeg still. They've got Florida at home. Florida's been pretty good recently anyway. But the Leafs still have, I believe, two more against Buffalo at home. They got the Habs at home. They've got Detroit at home. Islanders, Jersey. They got some layups, and they got a bunch of home games here.
I'd be going to every one of my star players or good players or veteran players. What do you want to do? How many you want to play?
It's just tough to, like I say, JVR
all about health.
Want to come out.
It's been about health since the deadline.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine going to JVR right now in a contract year. Like, he's a vet. He's been playing a long time.
Yeah, he's probably like, not a chance I'm coming out.
No. I need to keep racking up these points, man. But, you know, what's in the best interest of the team right now? I don't think JVR is the guy. He doesn't play that many minutes. But I think it'll be interesting with Matthews. Like, he came back. He looked great last night. I could see him kind of coming back to earth a bit tomorrow.
That's the one thing. I you have that initial adrenaline rush. He just needs to make sure his timing and everything is feeling great. I could see him playing 7 out of 8 games down the stretch here. You got to play him. You can't bubble wrap him. That's the truth. You just got to hope that everyone gets out healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think guys are... The league isn't as egregious. Nobody's headhunting out there. And
no, it's not going to get stupid.
It'll be a...
You know, it's there's nights where
it'll
I'm
be
doing
shinny
games.
The rest of the way in.
Yeah, there's nights where I'm doing games and it's like a gentleman's league out there. A guy knocks somebody over, almost helps him up.
Oh, I know.
But that's just how it is.
Well, we said that the other night in Tampa. Like, when Stamkos tripped up Riley and he got fined for it, it was ugly enough that the league said, we got to put you on the books, and
yeah,
nothing came out of it, you know? Nope. Just go have a conversation with good guy Steven Stamkos.
They forgave him. They forgave him.
Yeah, it's all good. We're good here. You know, that's why I love Kadri as much as I do, because he's not gonna start it all the time, and he's not gonna go out there and be like, I have to protect my team. But if you provoke him, he's coming right back.
Oh, he
should have
got a penalty last night. There was one situation where someone was pissing him off, and he two-handed him.
Absolutely, right at the bench.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, at least he did it.
I like it.
I don't even know how the ref was looking right at it too, and he never called it.
Well, the refs were brutal last night. Like they were awful.
They were brutal.
Awful. Last
but the
night.
Right, the ref may have saw something that provoked him and was like, okay.
Yeah, you deserve that.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Well, that's another thing that's changed too, right? Like back in the day when you guys were playing, the guy who got two-hand, the ref would be like, shut up, you two-handed him first. I saw that too, you idiot. Like I'm not calling him if I'm not going to call you.
Right.
And now it's always whoever, circles back, and whoever retaliates. We wouldn't want to get too carried away with the emotion on the ice.
Nope, not anymore.
No, but that's why I like Kadri's game. I mean, he's had a really good year, and he's a spark plug. Like, if you go at him, he'll go right back at you.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of guys like that on this team. But it'll be interesting to see the crowd tomorrow night. It's going to be a packed house. You know that. You know, but Detroit is not much of a team. Like, Detroit ended up at the end of the year where we thought they would.
Yeah.
Remember, they had it. They were in the mix a little bit, and they were okay at times, and a couple wins here or there. By the end of the year, they're a bottom five team.
And they don't seem like they're... I mean, they have some good young players. That Mantha's a good player. Larkin's a good player. Athanasiu's
but they're
a good
just,
player.
You know what
but
it is?
But it's like, what is that going to ultimately get you?
They're far away.
They're far away, but they've... What happened is they should have rebuilt a while ago, but they couldn't because Datsyuk and Zetterberg kept them out of it. Mm-hmm. They were that good of players. And now what's happening is Datsyuk leaves. Zetterberg's getting older. Cronwall's at the end, too. You know, they prolonged it, but now it's time.
Right,
that's
now
it.
It's
You've
time.
Got to turn it over.
Went to the playoffs every year for 25 years
very
or whatever.
Good.
You know who's moving up is Edmonton. Like, they're out of it mathematically, but they're not in a position where they're going to be third or fourth last.
Just probably better for, you know, the overall...
The optics of it?
Yeah,
they'll still win the lottery, but they'll just go from eighth last up to first.
What did Jersey go? I can't remember.
They were eighth or something like that.
And went to first.
Dallas, Philly, they all
went
up.
I was on the panel one night, talking about the Leafs one year. I was talking about their winning index, and I was like, really good, and then really crappy, and then really good. Why are you winning now?
I know. That's where they're at.
Martin Gerber.
All right, we're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.